It's that exciting thought another time, and we're going to kick right on into a new series that we kicked off. And but it goes like this. This is You Can Win in the End. And this is an important series, and we just finished one on leaving a legacy. And that's kind of a primary for this. But I want to tell you, you can win in the end. And I have to emphasize that because there are so many people that get off to a start with the Lord, and they walk with the Lord over a period of time. And then, you know, they kind of retire. They kind of quit. They get cold. They get offended. They get hurt. They get wounded. They get out of sync. And they just become complacent in living life without receiving that unity, that oneness, that communion with the Lord, that fullness of the Lord, the abundant of the Lord. And it's almost like, you know, they're satisfied without it. But I want to tell you something. Once you've tasted the walk with the Lord, you'll never be satisfied without that. And there will be always the Holy Spirit calling your heart back to Him. I hear it like this on a regular basis. The Lord will say, come be with me. Come away, my beloved. Come be with me. Come have time with me. And come remember me. And I want to tell you, those are precious times just to enjoy the presence of the Lord. And He wants you to know Him so well that you can enjoy Him. That's a good question to ask. Are you enjoying the Lord? And it's possible to get in such a routine that becomes a rut. And a rut is like a grave. I want to tell you, people go there and die. But I want to tell you, when you're walking with Him, there's relationship with Him. It's not just doing the do's and not doing the don'ts. It's walking with the Lord. He wants to be personal with you. And so it hurts me to know and to find and to meet that there are a lot of people out there that at one time were active in church. They had an active walk with the Lord, and now they don't. And there's a number of different things that come up the pipe on the why nots. But I'm just going to say this. If you want an excuse, the enemy's got a whole bag full of them. And they all seem to fit. You know, I gave one of the teens on their birthday some green this week. You know what I mean about the green. And I announced to her, it's your size and it fits, okay? And I know because that works with me. But the deal is that I want to tell you, the enemy has a way of making excuses fit right where you are. But I want to tell you, you must have a walk with the Lord on this journey or you're going to be overwhelmed. And one of the things that the enemy wants to do, he wants to, like, give Christians a sleeping pill where they become sleeping saints and they sleep right on through the front edge of what God's doing on this earth. They sleep right on through all the sweet and precious things that God wants to do. And what I want to say to him is this, you don't have to miss. He paid the price for you to walk with him. And I want to tell you, he's done the work. It is a finished work. Our part is receiving. Are there some things on our part to do? Well, you better believe it. Like one of them's renewing the mind. And, you know, after a person, you've heard me say this, after a person receives Christ, there's no greater thing that a Christian can do but renew their mind. Reprogram the computer with the Word of God. It'll probably be the hardest thing that you do, because it fights against the world system. It fights against old patterns. But I want to tell you something. When you renew your mind with the Word of God, there's nothing that brings more liberty and freedom in your walk. And I want to tell you, it's so exciting because it's a continual journey. And a great testimony of a person is that I received Christ and He changed my life. That's a great testimony. The second greatest testimony is this. The Lord is still changing me because I'm in His Word and I'm walking with Him. I want to tell you, it's not something we do. It's something we cooperate with. And I'm hoping to show you this today. I want to let you know you can win in the end. And so let's get in sync with the Lord. I want to just announce something to you. You know, your rescue, you may be in a pit. You may have been there for a lot of years. Your rescue, your deliverance, your rescue is a lot closer than you think because He's close. And He loves to set us free. And I shared this example last week, I think, but it goes with someone I was meeting with or some pastor I was talking to. But I'll never forget when my boys were born, this doctor really liked me a lot. I mean, we were friends. And when it came for the delivery of both of my sons, he told me, he said, I want you to be involved in this as much as possible. And I'll never forget the first time I went in. I'm up at the head of the operation, trying to do a little coaching and cheer. And he said, hey, pastor, get around here. This is where the action is. And I said, okay. But I want to tell you something. I was amazed how that God's designed the birthing of children to go well and to go easy when things are lined up. Now, this is talking from the man's point of view. But I was just amazed at the way God had created the system of birthing, that the way he's designed it, if everything's in order and everything's lined up, it's amazing this how it takes place. And so I was able to catch both of my sons. I was able to cut the cord, you know, clear out. You know, he was coaching me through it. And so it was pretty cool. And by the second time, I had a little more confidence. But I want to tell you something. It really hit me like this, is that, you know what? A doctor is really there. I mean, God's designed the system. And you know what? For thousands of years, this system's been working well. And I want to tell you, when things are lined up and things operate the way they're supposed to, it's amazing how well it happens. A doctor's there for what he knows in case something goes wrong, and he's present to be a help. And it really hit me that this is really what my role is in the ministry. I don't create the miracle. I don't make things happen. I'm just there like a coach to help people kind of get in line with the Lord. And when you get yourself lined up where Jesus is the center of your life and you line yourself up with the Lord, it's amazing what God can do because he's designed it. He paid the price for it on the cross. And I'm saying you can be free, and not only can you walk in greater freedom, but you can win in the end. That's because of Jesus. And so my part, just to help you get in line. A scripture that kind of goes along with that is that seek ye first. Seek ye first the king. Seek ye first the kingdom. And he says, all these things will be lined up for you. Isn't that great? Now see, that's something the Lord does. But you know what? Here's the deal, is that he will not do it without us. It's all on him. Our part is to cooperate. Had a teen ask me this last year, and I really loved the question. I love their questions, but this question really hit me good. I loved it. They said, well, if you tell us that God already knows everything before we pray, yes, he does. And that he already knows what we're going to pray when we pray it, yes, he does. And he's already provided, yes, he has. So why do we need to pray? That was great, wasn't it? Well, I'm going to tell you why. Because he loves interaction with you. You know what he wants? Cooperation with you. You know what he wants? A heart that's saying yes to him. A heart that's yielded to him. Submitted to him. Hey, getting in line with him. Believing what he says, who he is. What he wants. Hey, it's his will, it's his way, it's what he loves. But he wants cooperation with us. He can do it without you, but he wants to do it with you. Do you see that? And so this is so exciting, and I just want to encourage people. It hurts my heart to see people retire on the Lord. And I know I have respect for ministers that have been so wise in their money that they come to the place where they're able to retire. You know what? People retire all the time. I think that's just beautiful. I respect your commitment to saving money and setting money aside. I've chosen not to do that. I've chosen to go all out for Jesus and to sacrifice for him, and that's okay too. And so I'm not throwing Bibles at you. Don't throw Bibles at me. But the deal is, I want to tell you something, is that there's no word for retirement in the Bible. You know what? You go to heaven, you're celebrating and praising, and I want to tell you something, you're not bored there. There's great things to celebrate and do in heaven. And so heaven is a graduation to a higher level of living, because it's with Jesus and it's with beautiful saints. And we're going to have a great time in the Lord. But I want to tell you, there's so much to do here. Why don't you use your retirement for an opportunity to minister more for Jesus? Isn't that a great thought? And I want to tell you something. It's not a retire. I had a pastor not too long ago ask me, when are you going to retire? I said, what? He said, when are you going to retire, you know? I said, I don't. And I never will. I want every day I got left to count for Jesus. I'm going all out. I want to go out with a shout, not a pout. How about you? And so I want to tell you, you can win in the end. And so don't quit. If you retire, praise God. But use the opportunity. Consider it this. You're getting paid by your former job and all the saving that you've done to serve Jesus in a freer way. I'm telling you, I think heaven shouts on that one. Okay. I heard a couple of me's, but that's all right. Keep listening. You can win in the end. The guys that were with me in youth ministry will remember that we used to have a banquet every year and have the comeback champion of the year. That was the most special award. I would have other staff hand out the other awards, but that was really special to me because I know the Lord did that for me. I know the Lord can do that for you. I know the Lord and heaven celebrates that over one that turns back to him. And so I'm telling you, you can win in the end. This could be your year. You cooperate with the Lord. You could be the comeback champion of the year. Hey, what a great thing for the kingdom of God to celebrate. And so Matthew 12:42 says this, because it goes like this. It's talking about Solomon. And we did something on Solomon in a former series, referred to it last week. But this is what the New Testament is talking about, what Jesus is saying. Is that, yes, Solomon was had a lot of wisdom. He was the wisest man on earth. He was also the richest man on earth. And I want to tell you something, but he didn't finish strong. He didn't win in the end. As a matter of fact, his stumbling and fumbling at the end caused the next generation to have civil war. And he didn't pass on the kingdom like his dad, David, did to him with momentum. He passed on the kingdom with he had a disturbed heart and a divided heart. And as a result, the nation had a disturbed heart and divided heart, and they went in rebellion against God. His private rebellion became public rebellion with the people. Boy, that ought to speak somewhere to somebody. But I'm here to tell you this. The wisest man on earth did not finish with a lot of wisdom. He had one foot on one side of worldly wisdom, one foot on the other side with God wisdom. And I want to tell you, that's a divided heart. But what Jesus, listen to what the Bible says. Someone greater than Solomon is here. Now, Solomon was the wisest on earth. But if you know Jesus Christ, I hope you catch this. Jesus is in you. And I want to tell you, he's greater than Solomon. Now, it's no doubt Solomon was wise. He had wisdom. But listen to this. Jesus is wisdom. Do you see the difference? And the unlimited wisdom of God is inside of you because Jesus is inside of you. Boy, that ought to excite somebody. He is the source of all goodness and blessing. Somebody say amen. He paid for and said yes to you. And so anything's possible when the God of all possible is in you and he's on your side. Now, David gave instruction to Solomon about how to win in the end, because he did. And so this is 1 Chronicles 28:20. Look at this. And so David told Solomon, his son, be strong and courageous. Hey, look, you cannot experience the overcoming that Jesus paid for, the more than conqueror that Jesus paid for, if you have a victim mentality. Okay? If you see yourself as a loser, or you know, you got to come to Jesus and identify with Jesus and let him be your victory. And so Jesus is a great place for losers to go. I are one. But I want to tell you, when you get with Jesus and you recognize who you are in him, you go from victim mentality to victor mentality. Well, that affects your mind in the way you see things and see people and see events and see your future. He said, be strong and courageous and do it. I'll tell you, I think Nike got that from the Bible. Because I want to tell you, we have a generation that has more information education about Bible and Christianity than any generation that's ever lived. It's at your fingertips. But I want to tell you something. You know what heaven's waiting on is you got the info. You got the opportunity. You can redeem time like no other generation. Just do it. I think it comes out like this. Hear God and just do what he says. If we would just hear God and do what he says, I'm telling you, we would be known as world shakers as the disciples were known as world shakers. When they would show up in a town, the people would now, here come the people that's shaking the whole world. Why? Because they heard God and they did what he said. Just put it into action. Look what David's telling Solomon. He will not fail you nor forsake you until you have finished. Now, I want to tell you, we need to take that and maybe put it up on the wall somewhere. Is that the Lord's promise that he will finish what he has started in me. All he needs is me. And he's promised that he will finish what he start. The Lord loves for you to finish. And he will cause us to win in the end. Somebody say amen. And he's promised, and this is just refer to this, Matthew 28:20. He's promised that he would be with us, present with us. That's right now, by the way. I know a lot of people want to talk about future and talk about the past, but I want to tell you he's the God of the right now. He's the God of the very present right now for you. And he promised that he will be with you and never forsake you to the end of the age. Forever, he's promised to be with you. Is that great? Now, I want to tell you, we have people that leave. We have people that walk out. We have people that betray us. But Jesus said that he will never forsake us. He'll never leave us. He'll be with us to the end of the age. Is that great news? And so Solomon, even his name means peaceful one. And for most of his life, Israel knew great peace, great blessing, great peace until the very end. But the storm clouds in the evening of his life went to the next generation and created some tornadoes. And so it's very, very important. Ephesians 4:27 goes like this. I think we have that. It says this, because this was something that Solomon didn't do. And I've explained to you what he didn't do in the last sermon, so go back and listen to that if you want to. You ought to. Leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. We have to tell people sometimes, you know, you're the enemy's best friend. You're his best weapon because you're helping him out too much. And I want to tell you, you don't have to do that. As a matter of fact, do not leave a room or a foothold for the devil. Now, I want to tell you, all of us have weaknesses, and different weaknesses show up in different ways. And I know sometimes, and I'm just going to say this real gently and move right along, I know sometimes you may look at some heroes on TV and think they got it all together. Well, I want to tell you, years ago I was on TV and I was in the green room with Big Shots, and I want to tell you, they didn't have it all together. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm not throwing Bibles at them, because I know that I don't have it all together. And I try to be real open with you and honest about that. But I'm telling you, if you see someone that you think has got it all together, a lot of times they've got secret weaknesses that are not public. Some people's weaknesses are more public than others. Yes. But sometimes, and I'm not saying for everybody, but I'm saying sometimes, people that you think have it all together and you can't get there, that's not true. I want to tell you, the walk with Jesus is a progressive walk. There are no perfect humans on this earth. There are no perfect Christians. Okay? But I want to tell you, we can all walk in more than what we're walking in right now. That's the blessed hope. Oh, got ahead of my sermon. Okay, that's the blessed hope. We're going to get there in a little bit. Okay? But what we're trying to do here is to tell you, because Solomon did not do this, New Testament tells us to be careful about this. Beware of triggers. You know what a trigger is? Hey, a trigger can cause a misfire in a Dallas minute. You may not intend for it to happen. But I want to tell you, if the safety's not on, I'm telling you, you can bump that trigger in a certain way. And I want to tell you, a misfire can happen and things can happen that you never intended. Hey, I want to tell you, that's dangerous. Years ago, and, you know, I had sold pretty well every rifle, handgun that I had because I was paying for crusades that I was doing in Central America. And so I had quite a collection at one time. That's all gone. Well, not all. I have just a few. But I want to tell you something. In the process of this, some of my friends were gun dealers. And I had one come by the house, and he had in his car a brand new rifle. And it was, I'm not going to tell you a particular kind because I don't need that kind of, you know, I'm not giving you any stones to throw at me. But what it was, he said, it's brand spanking new. It's still in the plastic. He said, do you want to see it? I said, well, do I want to see it? And so he walked out there to his vehicle because they were fixing to leave. They'd come visit and were fixing to leave, go out there, lived out of town. And he opened up his back end of his vehicle, and there it is in the case, pulled it out of the plastic, handed it to me, and I just kind of lined it up with the water tank, the Irving water tank. Okay, it was up in there, way up in there. Lined it up. It felt so good in my hand. I'm not going to tell you how good it felt. And I handed it back to him. He put it in the vehicle. And at the end of the street, he was surrounded by Irving police and brought out of the vehicle and all kind of stuff. They showed up at my house. Okay, wanted in my house. And, boy, it was a big deal. Why? Because a neighbor saw me holding the weapon outside and said I was running around the neighborhood with a machine gun pointing it at everybody. Okay, well, that was a big difference. Now, the deal that helped me with the police at that time and helped my buddy was that, you know what? There was no firing pin in the weapon. No firing pin. Okay? No trigger. Now, I want to tell you the difference between that and where we walk and live. Because of our past, and everybody here has a past, everybody here wears this stuff right here and has a weakness, there are triggers in this life, and this is what the Bible's talking about. Beware of triggers. Beware of triggers. Do not allow triggers to be in your life, because I want to tell you something. You may wake up in the middle of the night or the next day or have something happen, a flat tire or something might throw you a little out of sync, and you don't need a trigger close by. All right, is anybody listening? Okay, do you want to win in the end? Well, you got to be all in. If you're going to win in the end, and no triggers. You got to be alert to triggers. Everybody has them. Be alert, okay? You know, a trigger's like leaving an open door. One time when I was preaching down in Central America, this was actually in Mexico, I think, if I'm remembering right. We were way out in the country, you know, in the bush type thing, and there was this little house there that I was to stay in. And you understand, it's hot. Okay. It's humid, it's hot. All right? And, you know, no electricity, no air, anything. All the windows are, of course, wide open, you know, but still, it's hot. And during the night, I just absolutely was just hot and sweating, and I just couldn't sleep. I got up and walked outside, opened up the door there to the little house, and walked outside and was underneath the stars for a while, walked back in, didn't close the door. Well, I had no clue. The next morning, a little local came up and saw that the door was open, and he sounded an alarm, and they brought in a gun, and they got to they searched through the whole house for snakes. Because apparently I did a big boo-boo. You know, they don't crawl through the windows very easily, but they'll crawl right through an open door. But see, this is what people do in their life, and they want to, they think it's cute, they think it's funny, they think everybody else does it, but you can't leave an open door. Snakes will come in during the night. And so I didn't know it was such a big ordeal, but I learned, close the door. And so this is a good lesson, though, for us. Close the door. Close the door. When we minister to marriages, you have to see this. And I started to get Lily to draw me a picture because pictures work good, especially when she paints them. But a lot of times the husband and the wife are way far apart. You understand that can happen. That can happen to anybody. You start way far apart. And they want us to fix the other one. This one says, it's this one's fault. This one says, it's this one's fault. Go fix them. You go fix her. But that's not really what we do. And they have to understand God's way is this, is that you get their hearts pointed toward him, where that he's the center. And you get their hearts lined out, you recognize that term, lined out, to go toward him. And the closer they allow the Lord to work on their hearts and develop and move in their hearts, take things out of their hearts, rocks, poisons, knives, hurts, wounds, you know what I'm saying, addictions, and they start moving toward the Lord, you know what? The more they move toward the Lord, the closer they get. The closer they move toward the Lord, the closer they get. And when they're receiving grace from the Lord for their own life, they're able to see the partner with a different set of glasses. That helps. I want to tell you, it may not make sense to the world, but we've seen the Lord restore a lot of marriages. We've seen the Lord heal a lot of lives. And I want to tell you, the Lord's way is the best way because it's based on the Word. Now, there's human wisdom out there in marriage counseling, but I want to tell you, when you hear stuff like, submit to your husband, I want to tell you, that can be human teaching. What the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says, submit to your husband as unto the Lord. Let the Lord be in the center of this. And as you're walking with the Lord and submitting to the Lord's going to give you grace for your husband. The Lord's going to give you mercy for your husband. The Lord's going to give you wisdom for your husband. And here we go, guys. Love your wife is, I mean, human teaching. Just love your wife. Just love them. Love them. Well, I want to tell you that human love runs out pretty quick. But when you love them as Christ loved the church, wait a minute, let's put Jesus in the center here. When you're loving them as Jesus is loving on you, wow, that makes a difference. Because I want to tell you a secret. He knows them better than you do. You can't figure them out. But he knows them. And he'll give you wisdom to love on them in a way that he loves on you with wisdom, with an effective way. Can somebody say amen to that? But see, God has a way. And so, even if you've made some foolish decisions that have gotten you in the place where you are, it's not too late. It's more important than ever in your life that you allow Christ to be the Prince of Peace in your life. He will court you to himself. He will draw you to the wind because he's the wind. And you can have dominion in your life for the righteousness of God. You can have rule in your life for the power of God in your life. You can have recovery in your journey because he's the God of restoration. Isn't that great news? Well, that's how personal he wants to be. Jesus, he's wise, he's peaceful, he's prosperous in this life, and he will give you heritage, and he will give you momentum into the next. Is that great news? Boy, somebody ought to shout over that. All right, well, let's get into some scripture that say what I just said, Proverbs 3:5. Here's how to win in the end. You lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind. Divided heart and mind? No, all in. All your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. Use your chooser. It's not the luck of the draw. Okay? I mean, people see the amazing wife that I'm married to, that know me, and they say, wow, that's amazing. I said, yeah, that's how big God is. That's how amazing God is. And I usually use a football term with those guys, and I'll say I outpunted my coverage on that one because I want to tell you God's big, and he blessed me. See, that's just like the Lord. But when you leave the choice to him and you cooperate with him, he can bless you beyond your dreams. Your dreams aren't over. You say, well, I done messed up. I had a guy tell me I done messed up plan A. Well, I want to tell you, plan B with God all over it is a great plan. Because he will bless your socks off and cause you to shout. But we got to lean on him. Jeremiah 10:23. I'm telling you, if this is not plain, you need to read it a couple times out loud. Oh, Lord, this is Jeremiah in the name of the people. He's appealing to God about the people. He said, I know that the determination of the way of man is not in himself. You know what that means? A man cannot even figure out which way is up and down. Well, it refers to woman, too. Yeah, I got some laughs on the first part of that. Okay. It's not in himself. It is not in man or woman, even in a strong man or in a man at his best, to direct his own steps. Way to go, Jeremiah. Way to have some insight. And what he's saying is that the humans are like sheep. Ever heard that one before? There's a reason why the Bible refers to us as sheep. They don't know which way to go in or out, which way to go up or down. You know what? They need help with the direction. They can't figure it out on their own. We need God. Amen, Brother Tim. That is good preaching. That's just why that we got to depend on God. It's called humility. You need wisdom from God. Now, 1 Corinthians 2:16 says this, that we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. And so you think, well, if I have the mind of Christ, where's it at? I can't remember where I left my keys. Where's the mind of Christ? Well, I want to tell you where it's at. It's in your spirit. Because when you receive Christ, he comes into your spirit and all that he is inside of you. So you have the mind of Christ deep down on the inside of you. It's in your spirit. Now, this is why we need the word. This is why we need to walk with the Lord. It's to draw out of the wisdom of the mind of Christ, out of our spirit, into our soul, our mind, will, and emotion, so that it'll eventually hit our body. Come on, wouldn't that be great? Well, that's what he's designed us for. But the mind of Christ is on the inside of us. It's in our spirit. We can receive it. And so that's why we get in the Word of God, is to receive the thoughts of God. The wisdom of God is the thoughts of God. And see what you see here in this scripture. We can get the very feelings that the Lord has for something, whether to confirm something, whether we have peace or no peace. The Holy Spirit's promised to give us that. He's our umpire, and he'll give you peace or no peace. He'll reveal his purposes to you. He'll give you direction and confirmation. That's the mind of Christ. That's available for us. But it only happens if you listen. If you don't listen, you don't hear it. But he's given you a hearing heart. And that's why that we can receive the wisdom. Let's look at Romans 5:17. This is why you can win in the end. You got the mind of Christ. Romans 5:17, for if because of one man's trespass... We know that's Adam. Somebody say Adam. Death life reigned through that one. The way of death in this world came through Adam. Somebody say low life. All right, everybody gets low life because of Adam. But wait a minute, there's a higher life. You want high life or low life? Boy, it sounds like a commercial, doesn't it? Okay, you want high life or low life? You want to walk in the high life with God, the Zoe kind of life? Or the low life with Adam. Look at this. Much more surely. Somebody say high life. Much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, his unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness. This is why we preach on grace and righteousness so much. You say, Brother Tim, you preach on the same thing all the time. You just change the titles. Well, get it. Because if you get to walking in the overflowing grace of God, and you get to walking in the free gift of righteousness, let's see what's going to happen with your life. Because what happens with your life happens with your family and happens in your church. With the overflowing grace of God, you receive that, and the free gift of righteousness, you will reign as kings in life. Is that referring to heaven? No, it's referring right here. In the nasty now and now, you can reign as kings in this life. How? Through the one man, Jesus Christ. It's got to be activated. It's got to be applied. It's got to be embraced. So here's a big question. When will you start reigning as kings in this life? When will you? There's no better time than right now. This is the time. Today's the day of salvation. This is what I mean, that he's the God of the right now. He's always talking about today, today, today. He's a very present help. You can finish strong. You can win in the end because you can reign and finish reigning in this life as a king, a kingdom king. Those that receive it, walk in it. The reason I'm preaching this is that faith comes by hearing. If you don't hear that you can win in the end, you won't believe that you can win in the end. If you don't believe that you can win in the end, you're not going to receive winning in the end. Winning in the end brings them a lot of honor and glory, and I want to tell you, it's a lot more fun to be the head, not the tail. Oh, yeah, I could go there. There is no reigning as kings in this life without understanding his righteousness and his grace. I had a precious brother in the Lord ask me not too long ago, why is it that we see that churches or pastors come out with a great grace message and talk about receiving grace and walking in grace, walking in the love of God? And then all of a sudden they swap to the other side of the coin and they start putting out law. Thank God for grace, but you got to do this, do this in order to this and this and this. And you better not do this and this and this. And they go from grace to law. Why do they do that? Man, it just came so clearly to me, and it came out like this. The reason that pastors go from a grace message to a law message is because they believe in the power of sin, that the power of sin is greater than the power of grace. Okay. I guess I need to explain that a little bit. So, they want to give people the law to live by because they want to see their people holy. Now, God wants us to be holy. Holy means to be set apart. But I want to tell you something. I'm going to tell you a little secret right now. The law will not make you holy. Okay? The law is actually given to show you that you're not holy, and that you can't be holy, and that you need a Savior. You need forgiveness. You need grace and mercy. You need a personal shepherd. You need the Lamb in your life. And so that's what happens. They don't trust grace to transform people, and so they add law to change people to be holy. The law is holy, but it won't make you holy. Its purpose is to reveal to you that you're not, and that you need a Savior. I've got a friend sitting here on the front row that I love so much. His name's Chopper. And thank God for him. You know what? It's an amazing life, man. Thank you. Now, is he perfect? No. That's why he's sitting on the row with me, because this is the unperfect row. But I want to tell you something about him that I love so much. He's been here for a couple years. 3 years. He told me about a year ago, because we were having a little conversation. I just went up to him and told him, man, I love you. It really blesses me that you're here. And his response went something like this. He said, Pastor, I've got to know God. And I know God better now over the last couple years than I have the rest of my life. And the Lord has set me free. Now, I want to tell you, that's a beautiful testimony of a man walking in grace. But I want to tell you something. Never over the last 3 years have I given you a list of do's and don'ts that you got to do or you can't do. I've never given that to him. But I want to tell you something. Because he's walked in the Word, walked in the grace of Jesus, walked in the love of Jesus, I want to tell you, Jesus, he's experienced knowing Christ in such a way that his life, soul, is being transformed. And when your soul is transformed, your life is changed continually. It's not outside in, it's inside out. And I want to tell you, I love that about it. And I want to tell you, we have some other projects of grace in the building that need to follow his lead. Because when you walk with Jesus, the more you walk with Jesus, the freer you get. That's for all of us. Not for just the ones that have a motorcycle. It's for all of us. I used to have one. Okay, so this is very, very important. Let's look at this. And I'm kind of, Lord Jesus. Okay, here we go. Thank you, Lord. Help me, Lord Jesus. All right, look at this. This is Titus 2, verse 11. And remember now, I just got to say this because I love the Bible says this in John 1:17, that law came through Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ. So Jesus is grace and truth. Law through Moses, grace and truth through Jesus. Now look at this, verse 11. This is Titus. For the grace of God, his unmerited favor and blessing has come forward, has appeared for the deliverance from sin and the eternal salvation of for all mankind. Look, this is what gets me, because there are people out there in different denominations say only a few people can get saved and it's only for a certain group of people. No, no, he says for all mankind. If Jesus came for all mankind can be saved. Will all mankind be saved? No, because they say no to him. It's not because he says no to them. They say no to him. But the way it works with God is like this. What you decide about Jesus, I decide about you. That's what Father said. You accept my son, I accept you. I want to tell you it's beautiful. But that's what he's done. For this is the grace of God. He came for the deliverance from sin and the eternal salvation for all mankind. And so grace is to give us everlasting life. Thank God for that. And it's also to give us overcoming life. Because it's deliverance from sin. You don't need deliverance from sin in heaven. It's for now. He loves to set us free. And so it has trained us. Get this now. See, this is where pastors miss it. If they'll just continue to stay in the grace flow, the love flow, the union flow, getting to know God flow, and let grace train us. Because grace teaches us. It says it will train us. You don't have to take the book of the law out and beat up people to try to get them to reject ungodliness. You know what? You show them Jesus. How do we spell Jesus around here? Grace. How do we spell grace? J-E-S-U-S. It's person. He trains us to reject and renounce all ungodliness. Now, is this the Bible? I'm telling you, that's Bible. That's for us. All ungodliness. Even the lies of religion. All ungodliness. And also to reject and renounce all worldly passionate desires. Now this is why that we do not land on the side of behavior modification. We talk about soul transformation. Because grace, Jesus, grace of God, will cause you to reject those worldly passionate desires. Now this is what happens. In a lot of churches, a lot of people say, now look, those desires, you got to just absolutely, I mean, you're in a battle for the rest of your life, and you got to battle this and this, and you got to fight this and this and this. And there is battling, there is fighting, but your battle is to come to the place of rest in believing and receiving from Jesus, because it's the power and the love and the person of Jesus that sets you free from your desires. You can't change your own desires, but he can. And when you begin to taste the glory of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the precious wisdom of Jesus, it's supernatural. This is why it can't be explained. It's supernatural. He changes your desires. How many times do we have people that come and say, you know, Pastor, I just got to tell you, I went to this movie the other day, and I said, yeah, and man, they was using some bad language. I said, okay. They said, well, the thing is, I used to talk that way. I said, yeah, you did. He said, well, now it makes me sick in my stomach. Made me mad they're talking about Jesus like that, using them words. I said, that's a good thing that it made you mad. It's a good thing because the Lord's changed you. You see, I didn't give him a card to say, don't use this word ever again. No, 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 I'm telling you, fall in love with Jesus, and you know what? It's transformation desire. God gives godly desire, and godly desire is stronger than the passionate desire of the world. He removes it. He takes it away. Somebody give God praise. This is what he loves to do. And to live, not only to resist ungodliness and those worldly passionate desires, not only will the Lord help you with those and set you free from those, but he'll cause you on the positive side to live discreet, temperate, self-controlled, upright, devout, somebody say spiritually whole, lives in this world. I know people say, when we get to heaven, boy, I tell you, okay, that's true. Let's celebrate heaven. Let's look forward to heaven. But I'm telling you, hey, the power of Jesus is for the nasty now and now. To live in the sweetness of him in the nasty now and now. To know him in a fallen world. To live victoriously in a fallen world. Yes, we're all going to be victorious in heaven, but he paid the price for us to have victory here. Why wait to heaven to enjoy the Lord? Why wait to heaven to experience victory? Why wait to heaven to get free? Grace enables us to win in the end. It's wholehearted living. Positive. Look at this. I've got to finish this part. Y'all give me a couple more verses, and we'll just put a break on. Hallelujah. Look what we're looking for. This is, I'm going to give you this little definition of hope. Hope is the positive expectation of his goodness. That's hope. And so in verse 13, because of what grace has trained us and helping us with, we're awaiting on him. And we're looking. We're not being a bump on a stump. I want to tell you, spiritual rest is directed activity toward the Lord. Okay, that's spiritual rest. It's not being lazy. It's seeking the Lord, asking, seeking, knowing him. Awaiting and looking for the fulfillment, the realization of our blessed hope. Now, I want to tell you, a lot of times, we take away that comma, and we just immediately talk about the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Christ Jesus. And that's going to be a great day when the Lord returns. He is returning. He's soon and coming, soon and very soon. He's coming soon. And we look forward. As a matter of fact, this is our directive for Christians, is that we don't look forward to death. We look forward to his coming. Now, if death takes place before his coming, we're in good shape, okay? But we're expecting his coming. Could be any day. And so that's our hope. But I want to tell you, that is part of the hope that he's talking about, but that's not all of it. It's more to it than that. Do you want to see that? Because there's a blessed hope. That's the blessed hope of return. Christ returns, I go with him. But there's a blessed hope for right now. Okay, well, thank you for agreeing with me on that. Okay, even the glorious appearing. All right, look at verse 14. Who gave himself on our behalf that he might redeem us, somebody say freedom life, from all iniquity and purify for himself a people. Now wait, this is talking about the blessed hope right here. There's blessed hope for when he's returned, but there's a blessed hope for here. And he's explaining what this blessed hope is, that he has given himself to redeem us right here, right now, from all iniquity, purify for himself a people. A peculiar people. It's okay when they call you peculiar. They're bragging on you. They're bragging on Jesus in you. To be peculiarly, I can't hardly say that, his own. People who are eager. This is the blessed hope for right now. People that live a life down here in the nasty now and now with an eager and enthusiastic passion about living a life that's good and filled with beneficial deeds. All right, let me explain it in Tim terms. The blessed life here, the blessed hope, blessed life here, is that we would be filled with his passion here. And because we're filled with his passion, we have compassion for people around us. You see, it's not just ever about you. And this is where some church teaching gets way off, because they try to make the blessing all about you, all about you, all about you. Well, it is about you, but it's not just about you. Because if it's all about you, just you, it's perversion. You put self in the middle of any teaching, it's perverted. But I want to tell you what we do. Yes, it is for us, but it's not just for us. It's for him. Hey, that we're passionate in this journey because we love Jesus. And the passion for our love for Jesus becomes compassion for loving on other people with Jesus. New way of living. New way life. We pass it on. We bless other people. Hey, we're not just blessed. We're a blessing. We're blessed to bless. And that fulfills the love cycle. Oh, man. That's exciting living. Because you know what? You feel fulfilled. You're fulfilled in Him, and you're overwhelmingly blessed by loving on other people and seeing God do what only God can do in other people's lives. Isn't it fun to be a blessing? That's part of what He designed us for, to honoring the Lord, being a blessing, leaving a legacy. This is how to finish with the love life of Jesus. This is how to finish strong. This is how to win in the end, is by living out the blessed hope. And you say, well, I'm not there yet. That's why it's blessed hope. It's the expectation of God in your future. That He's going, as I continue to walk with Him, the freer I get, as I walk with Him, you know what? I'm going to catch more of it. I'm going to grow in it. I'm going to mature in it. And you know what? I'm going to be a blessing. That's the blessed hope. That's Father's heart for each one of us. And listen, that's what Jesus did. He was a blessing to Father while He was here. Number of times, Father said out loud from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, and I am well pleased with Him. Hear Him." Jesus represented the blessing of Father, loved on other people. And then Jesus, when He left, He said, "Now you go do what I did. Go say what I say. And go do what I do. Let's get in on it." This is blessed hope. This is kingdom life. This is the new way of living. Let me pray for you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, this is your day. Now, I'm not trying to embarrass anybody, but I want to tell you, do not leave this building. Do not turn off this camera without you accepting Christ. Because without accepting Christ, you don't receive the acceptance of Father. But if you will simply accept Christ as your Lord and believe that He rose again from the dead, and you will give your total self to Him, He receives you just like you are. And He changes us. He comes to live in you. And He empowers you. He enables you to be what He wants you to be. He empowers you to do what He wants you to do. And it's a lifetime process, but it's an exciting journey. And so if you're here this morning, or you're listening this morning, and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, this is the day, this is the hour. I'm asking you right now, privately and personally, would you do this with Jesus? Would you repeat this prayer after me and give yourself to Jesus Christ? If you're here and you want to receive Jesus as your Savior, your Lord, your friend forever, would you just raise your hand right now? Just quickly raise it up, put it down. Thank you so much. All right, someone else? Anyone else want to receive Christ today? Okay, thank you so much. All right, I know there's people watching on camera right now. This is the most important prayer you'll ever pray. Would you repeat after me? Lord Jesus, I give myself to You. I believe that You're the Son of God. I believe that You came to forgive me of my sins. Thank You that Your blood washes away all my sins, and I'm completely and totally forgiven. I receive You as my Lord. I receive You as my King. I give myself to You. Thank You for salvation. Thank You that forever and ever and ever that You're my shepherd and You'll never leave me nor forsake me. I give You praise. I give You glory. I dedicate my life to You. In Jesus' name. Now let's all say amen. Amen. Let's all give the Lord praise. Let's give the Lord celebration. Amen. And thank you for joining us. Boy, we love you so much. We're going to pick up right here and finish this series. Can you believe it? We're going to finish this series next week. And so tune in, Live and Living Color, same channel. And I'm so thankful for everyone that's here. And those of you that prayed to receive Christ today that are here, be sure and come see one of our leadership team before you leave, because we want to